the Nutramedical Report for Friday, the 31st of March. And we have a new guest on. I'm sure he'll be back because this is a very amazing individual who's got a legal background and has some very, what I call, very prescient arguments to deal with many major issues that are dealing with not only America but worldwide. Welcome to the program, Andrew Shatkin, attorney.
Well, I am very happy, Bill, that you have, or Dr. Bill Rev, that you have given me the opportunity to say a few words that hopefully may have some value.
Good. We talked about a couple of issues off here last week, and I'd like you to kind of maybe talk about some of the things that are kind of pressing in the regular media. Unfortunately, the regular media doesn't dig deep enough in terms of asking the right questions or formulating solutions. I'd like you to talk about what you think are the key issues that are burning right now on the major media, and also what's going on in the American culture.
Well, let me just comment. I am a Christian, a Lutheran, and I bear no ill will or intend to have any race feelings or engage in discriminatory actions. I don't have that prejudice. I really don't. But I have to say this. The travel ban that the president proposes is legally correct. See, what the media has projected and stated, the President Trump, in stating this travel ban against apparently a number of predominantly Muslim countries. Let me add, they say it's a Muslim ban, Dr. Bill, but many, many, many Muslim countries are not included, such as Egypt, such as Indonesia, which I think is the largest Muslim population in the world.
You're right.
Morocco, Tunisia, and a whole slew of Muslims are not. How can this be said that this man is discriminating? It's completely incorrect.
Well, the argument isn't correct because of the list of seven nations, which included Iraq, which is taken off now, was formulated on the basis that they didn't have a way of vetting people from their home country. That's it. And Obama's administration came up with a list, which I find bizarre now that the media want to trash Trump. It's crazy.
Well, let me say this also. I don't think it's President Trump. He is responding to a situation in the United States where it is documented that for one reason or another, within that cultural context, I'm not saying that every Muslim is evil or bad. I don't say that. But it is a fact that there have been a number of internal attacks, six or seven, Boston, New York, California, Orlando, Florida, Minnesota, and other places. And there is documented, there are constant terrorism plots, which are documented against this country. So he is responding to the fact that within this cultural group, there is a certain percentage of people that are doing this. I have to say, I don't blame Muslims particularly, all of them, but this is he's responding to the reality of the source of this problem, of this, where Americans have died. Let's get it straight, okay? He has no choice but to denominate Muslim-majority countries, which are the source of these attacks. What choice does he have? Is he anti-Muslim? No, but he is responding to the reality of what's occurring.
Right. If you deal with it pragmatically, our best allies would be moderate Muslims that would turn in the bad guys. And this is happening in Germany, but unfortunately we have enough bad guys. They're still doing a lot of what's called terror. But according to Bill Warner, who's got political Islam, and he's a former professor at Tennessee State University, the jihad of terror is only actually, he thinks, the least important. The beta jihad are the jihad of Sharia law, the jihad of Sharia compliance, the other jihads like that are much more like taking over George Washington University, the various departments, jihad of textbooks where you can't criticize Muhammad.
Yes,
the jihad, the jihad of, in which in many quarters they're actually starting to amalgamate some fractions of Islam with Roman Catholicism. So I see lots of jihads here going on, and this is just one of them. What people need to understand, the simplest jihad is really simple. We're aborting our population here. Our birth rate is only kept up slightly to the limit by immigration. But because we've done so much abortion, the average Muslim has a family is reproducing at the rate of 3.8. And in America, it's 1.8, and it's only because we have immigration. The women in this country have aborted so much, over 55 to 60 million babies just in America alone, let alone worldwide, that we are going to, the jihad of just the baby carriage is the most dangerous jihad of all, believe it or not. And we can blame ourselves to a great extent of that.
But I also think the government, it probably does know this, and within the Muslim religious political culture, there is, I have looked at the Quran to inform myself, hopefully, with the facts, which is what I try to do. There are many references to attacking and killing non-Muslims, infidels. There are many references to with respect to the treatment of women.
Right.
And there are many references to Muslims who attempt conversion are, in fact, stigmatized or attacked or perhaps killed.
Yeah.
I have to say, the problem is that the left declines to recognize, possibly, that there are elements of a certain number of people in this religious system that go along with this.
Well, if they don't go along, they passively allow it. They might have.
They allow it, right.
They don't turn in their fellow Muslims because it's against their culture and their belief system, even if they're moderate, to not turn in more extreme elements. Now, a lot of, especially where they're better off and they're starting to integrate with society, if you go to, say, places like Deerfield, Michigan, what you'll find there is the Muslims are quite different than Muslims, say, in France, where they've got ghettos and they don't integrate multigenerationally.
Right.
Here, the Muslims usually are actually better off than the average American. They often own their own businesses. They get along with the local community, but the only problem is in some places, like in Quebec, Canada, where they are slightly ghettoized, they want to start instituting Sharia law and imposing on other non-Muslims rules like you can't eat pork or you can't criticize Muhammad. We even see this through actions through the United Nations trying to pass bills over the last few years to literally internationally prosecute people, even in journalists, that actually say anything that might slight Islam or Muhammad. And these kinds of actions, I think, are inflammatory because they require a response from non-Muslim countries or secular countries that basically say to them it's an affront to say, hey, we can't say anything about the bad aspects of some things in Islam because it's like the Catholic Church 1,000 years ago where they're killing the Albigensians. Islam has to go through that transformation, and moderate Muslims will be our best ally to actually stop it, to stop the bad stuff.
Yes, it's true. Yes, I think the issue, in a sense, possibly, look, I am not at the level of knowing history completely, but probably the Muslim society is undergoing a confrontation with modernity and Christianity, a combination. They are suddenly have been they were at in the past, they were sort of isolated, perhaps, and created this particular religious political system. But they can't quite do it now.
Right.
I mean, the world's different.
Yeah, if they came from North Africa, where they're very isolated, they're now thrust into large cities in Europe or America or elsewhere. And they're also, many of them, they're first or second generation, they're culturally torn, although they're getting engineering and doctor degrees and a vocational training, and they're getting to direct culture with their friends are all kinds of different religions and no religion at all in Western
culture.
That's right.
So the Muslim world is in a last, I think, and I have, believe me, as I said, Bill, I don't like to say things that are offensive to people or denigrate them. There are elements of the Muslim culture that are in a last-ditch battle with the modern world.
Right. Now, the biggest problem is, I think Islam is being used by globalists. I think they're just a useful tool because they're coming out of an ancient culture in a lot of places in Africa or North or the Middle East where they've been isolated, and the globalists are using them as a tool to get global hegemony and total control over society. I don't think that they realize that they're being used in this situation. That's why we see a lot of false flags, for example, that involve Muslims that our intelligence agencies are actually directly shepherding. Now,
right.
One of the things that I think that needs to be done is better vetting, but also better vetting of questions. For example, with Bill Warner, had 92 questions, and I'll just mention a couple. He doesn't confront people directly or deal with the, quote, the religious aspect. He deals with the political aspect of what they say. For example, he says, like, and this is like a lawyer like yourself, do you agree that, or disagree with the hadith that says that you can beat your wife with a stick of a specific size? Doesn't say that they did it. Or do you believe in genital mutilation of girls? Doesn't mean that you did it to your own daughter. Or do you believe that when a significant minority in a community becomes Islam, Muslim, that we should have either overt or hidden Sharia courts? Because apparently there's a lot of Sharia courts in America that are hidden. Or do you believe that if an imam is calling for jihad, including not only physical violence but economic violence, because a lot of these Muslim peoples that are coming here are quite wealthy and they can use their economic force to do things that could be directly against the Constitution. So, do you set the Constitution above Sharia law? Those are simple questions that don't accuse them of anything, but we would need to start seeing that they need to become allies of the United States and Constitution the same way in Europe. And this is what the French and the other peoples in Europe have done. They've allowed these people to become ghettoized and non-integrated into culture. I don't care what race people are. I just want them to become ghettoized and isolated and, in a sense, become like a tumor inside society. That's it.
Well, so the problem we face in this country and in the West is to what extent is the entire Muslim society sort of involved in this type of thing? We don't know, you see. We don't know what is proclaimed in the mosques. We don't know.
Oh, yeah. I've been doing research just than I do. I have, and my son also even speaks Arabic, so... What you have to understand is what's going on is 72% of the mosques in America, by their own experts, are radicalizing first and second generation born here. What's going on is we should have whistleblowers inside these mosques, including Muslims, but we should have our own agents there. We should also have metadata, not just on Muslims. There's a lot of bad people from many countries in the world, like Russia, wanting to set up mafia for drugs, or Central and South America, that we should vet. And the way to vet them isn't just kind of asking them questions at the airport or whatever. It's vetting that's on multiple levels. We can vet their genetics to see if they have the genes to make them violent criminals, which is monoamine oxidase 1, mitochondrial, and other genetic SNPs that make it much more likely to be violent. We need to have metadata from their credit cards and their travel. If they travel to a specific city in Afghanistan, every Afghanistani, even Muslim, knows if you go there, you're learning to be a terrorist, this particular city. So if we have somebody's travel plans, and they've traveled from London to that city, you know they're not coming back because they had a nice tan. They're coming back because they learned skill sets. So,
also, I want to say something else. I think it has to be recognized realistically and truthfully. There are elements of the Muslim society that, first of all, they are intensely anti-Semitic. Many are, not all, are very anti-Semitic. They have been bombing the state of Israel for many, many decades.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, so these attacks have been religiously motivated. The attack on the Christmas market in Berlin was an obvious example. There was a French priest that was killed during mass in Paris or in some French city. There was an attack on a kosher supermarket in France.
Right.
We can't close our eyes.
I could tell you we could stop that. If you actually look in each one of these cases, like the guy that took the truck down in that Christmas market. These people have been monitored for years. That guy, when he came from Tunisia, burned down his holding building in Italy, literally within days after he got to Italy. And they tried to track him, and they were going to deport him, but they were so slow in the deportation, he just hopped a train and went to Germany, and they didn't track him. The same thing when people come here, for example, there's still the Obama administration holdovers are still in the middle of the night moving thousands of immigrants that are not vetted at all and dropping them in communities, and they can leave 3 or 4 days later and nobody in the government is even tracking them. Nobody knows where they are after a week or so. They could be anywhere in the country. So that is still a holdover. That's happening this month from the Obama administration by Obama holdovers still having unvetted people arriving here from these countries.
Another factor, the LGBT group, the gay community, if I were them, I would be tremendously concerned with non-vetting Muslims coming to this country, because certainly in Florida, that was, Bill, although the media, left media, did not want to talk about this, it was an attack on gay community in that gay nightclub. It's a fact. So I'm saying that the LGBT community should be grateful that President Trump is attempting to put in this ban, because they're going to be at risk.
Well, you know what's interesting? And both Google and Facebook tried to suppress the LGDP that thought that they actually had support. And there's a large segment within a minority segment within the Trump support people that are alternative. And they didn't want this to get out because the Democrats want to think we're the only ones that actually support LGBT. But if you actually look at the internal discussions going on inside the party between Podesta and Hillary Clinton and others, they are not supportive. In fact, their policies, in fact, of increasing the amount of immigration if Hillary got in was 550% more than even Obama. And she even said privately, we can't vet these people. We don't care. We don't care if they kill gay and lesbian people. We don't care if it kills Americans in no-go zones, usually in no-gun zones. Where I live in Vista, California, we're armed to the teeth. It's all military. I can go any so many yards, and there's Marines or ex-Marines. Okay, I can look at my patio door, and I can see Pendleton Marine Corps base, which is a couple miles away. So there's no way anybody's going to a shopping center here in Vista, California, Carlsbad, or San Marcos, and going to shoot it up because they're going to drop dead from somebody packing a concealed carry weapon in a matter of seconds. That's not
if I were, Bill, let me say this, and I'm going to interrupt you. If I were an LGBT person of that orientation, I would be checking in with the Trump administration wholesale.
I think they are actually behind the scenes. That's why I see Caitlyn Jenner. You know what his response of Donald Trump was? I don't care what bathroom you use. Come on down to the Trump Towers.
Right.
See, yeah. I think what we have to understand is that Trump is a pragmatist. He's a basic Christian. He's not one of these, what I call, really arrogant, I've got it all figured out kind of Christians. Do you know what I mean?
No, he's a very bright guy, let me tell you.
Very bright guy, very pragmatic.
He's a very smart guy.
But he's also very realistic. He knows, if you're a real Christian, you know you're a sinner. You're constantly seeking forgiveness because you're trying to do what God wants you to do.
Of course.
And you're just moving forward. And when you do that, that's the most important witness. It's not even miraculous stuff. It's just, even if you screw up, continue to try to unscrew up. And what the media and these other organizations like Google and Facebook have tried to suppress the fact that he's reasonable to everybody. That's why they say he's a racist. I'm thinking most of the people employed in many of his golf courses are Hispanic people or people from other nations. What are they talking about? I mean, this guy is probably one of the most personable people you can meet. You know, if he wasn't a billionaire or wasn't the president, he's the kind of guy, if you happen to meet him on the golf course, you'd say, hey, let's go sit down and have a good meal, you know, because he doesn't drink.
And
talk about just stuff.
Well, they have, the left cooked up a number of things, slanders about President Trump, without any basis of fact. One was that he's a racist. There is an ounce of evidence that man has racial feelings against anybody. He comes from New York City. He's from the East Coast. He had a huge business. He probably had thousands of blacks and Latinos working for him.
Right, so he's probably one of the most non-racist people in the United States, which I think is funny that they would try to do this. Now,
they do the same thing with women. They say he's against women. He's got plenty of women employees. He's had plenty of interaction and relationships with women. He has no negative feelings toward the female sex.
Right. Now, that's that first issue dealing with the Trump issue, which I think now they're going to have Flynn go before the committee.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure he's going to say things because the fact that someone released his name is a major felony. And Farkas, who was a consultant, you know, I guess Dr. Mm-hmm. Farkas, working at the Obama administration with Middle Eastern Studies, and she was outside the government department, but she's quoting all kinds of intel that she shouldn't have access to, saying that we didn't want them to know how we knew and why we knew it and so on because they would hide the evidence. I'm thinking, are you kidding? What evidence do you think you have? None. None. And what's amazing to me is they continue to push this narrative. You know why? Because the Clintons getting speech writing checks, dig checks from Russia, big uranium deals, Podesta with 75,000 stocks, they got a lot to hide. A lot.
Mm. I want to say another word about the Women's March. First of all,
we're on break now. We'll be back in...
Okay, fine.
PatriotPrepared.com carries the leading brands of storable food from Numana, Legacy, and Heaven's Harvest. Patriot Prepared. Our name says it all. We're dedicated to empowering you to be self-reliant and confident in any circumstance. Whether you want to be prepared in the event of an emergency or you're an outdoor sports enthusiast, PatriotPrepared.com has prepackaged meals and kits for your entire family. Legacy, Heaven's Harvest, and Numana are known for high-quality, great-tasting, GMO-free, nutritious food with no chemical preservatives. Simple to prepare, easy to store, gluten-free and organic high-quality nutrition options with a 25-year shelf life. You can't beat the feeling of being food secure when you need it most. So go to PatriotPrepared.com right now to pick up your supply of high-quality storable food for your family, because it makes good sense to be prepared. That's PatriotPrepared.com.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria, from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promote stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
You got some comments about the women's movement, especially with the Democrats.
Yes, let me say this. I'm in full support of the biblical message of the equality of the sexes in Genesis. Everything, if you are a Christian and you have in-depth some knowledge of the biblical message in Revelation, you will realize that in Genesis 1 and 2, it says that both man and woman were created in God's image.
Right.
So, I think there is this explicit statement that there is an equality before God of all men and women. There's no difference. So that is within the first and second chapters of Genesis, and that's what I adhere to.
Yeah, and but, if you actually look at the biblical record, Dorcas in the book of Acts was one of the female leaders, mm-hmm. one of the largest home churches, and the mother of Jesus, in a sense, was also, in a sense, the 13th apostle. She was often at these dinners and traveled with them.
She was.
Yeah.
Jesus had many women followers, and of course, Paul is unequivocally in a statement that there is no all men and women all are equal in Christ. I mean, there can be no better affirmation of women's equality and worth than these biblical than the biblical revelation. There is nothing more succinct and stated more exactly.
Right.
But I have to say this, I have noted, I'm not criticizing, I say people should have equal rights and opportunities, and no question about it. But I do think, I've noted the women's movements never mentions the rather shabby treatment in Muslim couples afforded by women. They don't say anything. If they're so concerned about women's rights, why don't they say anything?
Well, the other side of this is that Hillary Clinton, right in the debates with Donald Trump, debated up to the moment of delivery. And you may or may not know this, but 93% of abortions do first trimester abortion don't support abortion at the up to the moment of delivery. That's abortionists. Mm. So this woman is on the far end of the spectrum, and I think it's an abuse of women to do abortion. Many of them get Asherman syndrome, get problems with post-abortion violent psychological behavior where they are risk-taking, or they can't form bonding with their future husband or children. It's a major problem. The rates of cancer are higher. They have abnormal implantation in the uterus, so they can get placental separation. They can bleed to death and die from it. People don't understand this. And what's going on is, I think, to a great extent, the American women's movement hates women. I don't think they support women, elevate women in terms of, for example, with healthcare. If you're a female doctor and you're paid an hourly wage and you don't have malpractice, you can easily work 3 afternoons a week and still be a doctor and still have a family. But they don't do that. And we need to realize that women have some skill sets that are superior to males in terms of, say, middle management and keeping things
management
together.
Management of money, they're better at that.
They're better at that. And so as a result, there's certain niches within society and corporations where women, just by their very nature and their personality and multitasking, are superior to the average male mind. Now, male mind is better at being less emotional and leading, but they're not good at middle management by comparison to women. And
yes,
in terms of so what I think we need to start realizing is men and women are equal in terms of our value, but we're not equal in terms of being the same. What I see happening in the sexual movement is to try to blur the lines between male and female.
Yes, that is true. Yeah, that is true. Also, I think I move around in the grounds here of society. I'm not running the national government or heading a big corporation, but as far as I can see, most women basically want to be women. They want to marry and have a family, for the most part. Mostly.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. There's a couple things that are actually pretty funny that are different about men. Give an example. If you get men together sitting there watching sports, or let's say they're watching a movie, you'll see sometimes a guy will turn the sound off and they'll actually make up the parts. You'll never see women do that. Ever.
No.
Okay, there are certain funny things about guys that when women look at it, say, are they from the same planet?
Right.
So they got to realize there's basic, fundamental, even wiring of their brain is different.
Yes, the thinking is different. There's no question about it. Yep. They see things we don't see. They pick up on things we don't pick up on.
That's true. Right. That's why I like the Big Fat Greek Wedding. The man may be the head of the house, but the neck turns the head.
Right. I also want to say something about certain events in the Middle East.
We'll be right back.
Again,
you are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited. So take a breath, head to aroutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at aroutfitting.com.
End time is not what you thought. In their new book, 122436, authors Mike and Cheryl Gilmore bring forth a startling new idea on the beginning of humankind, how life begins on Earth, and when our Creator concludes this age. In the book, 122436, three small groups of individuals, separated by thousands of miles, discover together the answers to the beginning of our universe and all the life it contains. Mike Gilmore is the author of five Levels of Power novels and the SLED Investigation series. Cheryl Gilmore is current state director in South Carolina for MUFON and brings a lifetime of experience with UFOs and related fields. As a team, their new book about life in the near future on Earth sets aside most people's religious and scientific beliefs. Available exclusively on Amazon in softback for $8.99 or the ebook price for only $2.99. Remember, Amazon softback $8.99, ebook only $2.99. 122436. Get your copy today.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Some other topics. Let's continue.
Sure, go for it.
Well, one of the things I want to talk about is the not only the Flynn situation, which is out of control, but I think we need to talk about health care. I had a call the other day from a lady, Carol, who thought, well, it's not constitutional that we have health care. I'm thinking, don't you know that the Veterans Health Bill was over 100 years ago, that we've last bill, which was the EMTALA in the 80s, 3 or 4 months before I started working in just Augusta, Georgia, as a family internal medicine doctor, trauma burn emergency room doctor, that they would strap people on the stretchers and shove them outside the doors of the emergency department if they had no insurance, so they bleed to death or suffocate and die.
Yeah.
So we have rules, so everybody in America gets health care, even if you arrive 2 minutes before from some African country or the Middle East.
You do.
The fact is that it's obscene for people to even raise these issues. The fact is, we are a Christian, Judeo-Christian country, and we don't let anybody go without health care. In fact, if you look back at the ancient history of our so-called culture, it goes back to the fact that Cohen's received the tithes. The tithes was never, ever intended for the church. The church was to get, however, little or much, and you were to give as the Spirit moved you. So if you're really wealthy, maybe you could give a quarter of your economy if you're heavy or a billionaire. And if you didn't have anything, you know, putting two pennies in the thing might be hard for you. So I think what we have is a situation here where we need to have rational health care. I put a number of plans with our Academy President for the Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine, Dr. Ron Klass. Mm-hmm. But we need to realize we need to have affordable health care with no death panels, no co-pays, so you can't afford to actually use the darn stuff. You know,
right.
I think we need to reevaluate what our core values are first before we actually go back to the idea of fixing healthcare. Because Obamacare, although it tried to pretend it was going to provide care to everybody, it was providing pseudo care. I call it embalming care, not Obamacare,
mm-hmm.
which is death or denial of care. So even if you need a cataract, you couldn't afford the copay or the deductible in order to even get do it. Or you needed some of the procedure. And I'm not saying I'm against surgery. I've done every kind of surgery except open heart and brain. Eye surgery, I've done residency in orthopedics and plastics, general surgery, trauma, burn unit. And I can tell you that I want to minimize the use of drugs to maximize health and genetics and epigenetics. But those things aren't available to the average person. They don't even know that if, let's say they got a specific condition, because I consult and train doctors and patients all over the world to reverse diseases, they say, you can't do that. You can't reverse their peripheral neuropathy or their heart failure. I mean, I have umpteen cases, even since last summer, just really resurrecting people from near death, from heart failure, or other serious conditions like blindness. And people say, you can't do it. And I'm talking to other doctors and patients around the world. So the problem I see is we need to get our spirits correct first before we start, you know, crafting legislation on healthcare to fix it. Because what Obamacare was an obscenity. It didn't control medical costs or malpractice.
No, it didn't.
It didn't control drug costs. It didn't control the big Medica. When I worked in the ICU as a locum and 20 years ago at the Swedish Hospital Medical Center, I was paid $65 with no benefits or health care. And the average ICU patients that I took care of at the wee hours of the night, 2 or 3 in the morning, was being charged minimum $32,000 a day. And if they were on a induced coma with a heart lung bypass machine or cardiac assist pump, because they were in terminal heart failure, cardiogenic shock, and on a ventilator, they were being charged $90,000 a day. And if they had enough insurance, we would transfer them after a period of time to Vencore, and they would there spend on average 6 months more. 85% would go home, 15% would die, and only 15% were ventilator dependent and could be at home. And if they didn't have enough insurance in our hospital, like any hospital in America, when they ran out of money, millions of dollars, the ventilator was pulled. So I was walking down the hall one day, and I said to one of my respiratory tech guys, and I said, what do you have there? He said, you got your penknife out, and you put a notch in the top of that ventilator. I said, I bet that's your pearl handle. He said, you're pretty perceptive, Deagle. I said, I can count, too. I bet those are about 22 notches. I said, who do you pull it from? He said, oh, that guy over there, which is not my patient, but one that was right beside one of my patients, because his insurance ran out. So people need to start kind of grasping. And I know you're a legal expert. A lot of people have an attitude, but they don't really have an opinion. An opinion, like in legal laws, it has to be based on evidence, facts on the ground, and logic. And if it isn't, it's not really an opinion at all. It's just an attitude. And there's a lot of people with attitudes that want to have a radio show, or they put up a website, or they say something they think. If they can convince other people to believe it, somehow they believe it too. Which I find it's a kind of a crazy psychology. It's infiltrated high schools and universities where if you can convince enough people, including your students, your crazy ideas, you'll believe it too.
Right. So, can I just say something, Bill, about one thing?
Yeah.
I don't know if you're aware of it, but I think a certain percentage of people are aware there is at present time within the Middle East a Christian genocide.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, my family are Syrian Lebanese Christians that are being killed left and right, and nobody, including the Christians.
And in Iraq, ancient Christian communities have been decimated.
Oh, decimated. Killed. Just slaughtered right out. And we're letting it happen, by the way. We are allied with ISIS and ISIL. That's why I say terrorists are us, you know, like Toys R Us. And we are standing by, especially the Abominator, who's a closet Muslim. Wahhabist, because he's not just an average Muslim. He is constrained with the globalists and the worst elements of Islam to support major terrorism and the wiping out of Christians. At the same time, the Haraj that's coming in, they purposely don't bring in Christians because the Christians are afraid to go even to the transfer camps to get to, say, Europe or America, because they'll be persecuted or killed in the camps. It's a horrendous situation.
Also, I'd like to say something else. I mentioned this to a Jewish person in front of a synagogue, and I said it with respect. I said, if the Jewish community wants to allow Muslims to enter this country, with all due respect, I'm not saying that all Muslims are going to do something to anybody. I don't know.
Right.
They're putting themselves at risk.
Oh, yeah, okay, absolutely. To me, it's counter logic. It's like, do they not understand that all these threats against Jewish community are not just false flags sponsored by intel agencies?
They're
real ones by Muslims who basically want to kill all the Jews. And by the way, they want to kill a lot of the Christians, too, who are in the Middle East.
Well, yes. Well, that's what is essentially going on, to some extent.
Right. So, people don't face this music. Why is that? There's a kind of a mentally ill dislogic that just is...
Well, because they mask these things. That's the only way I can put it, you know. There's a masking effort. For example, some of these judges' opinions. For example, in Hawaii, I don't know if you know, the federal district court judge, he says there's religious discrimination, and he points out, first of all, incorrectly, the president making some comments about Muslims during his campaign. It's outside of the court record. It's completely improper. I'm a lawyer. You can't just take things somebody said 3 years ago and use it in court.
Right.
In addition, they're implying prejudice. The issue is he's responding to the pragmatic reality of what's going on. If they want to call that prejudice, I guess they can call it that.
Well, I'm amazed that these judges are not only recruits or forced to recruit themselves, like the ones in the Ninth Circuit Court, but why is it they have not been impeached? I mean, why haven't impeachment actions been taken, and why has the Trump government now, 2 or 3 months in now, not started clearing all these departments of all these holdovers? I found out this last week that apparently the Obama administration is still, through their proxies, bringing in thousands of people per month that are completely unvetted, in the middle of the night with airplanes bringing them in, and then they're stuffing them in communities where the community usually doesn't know they're arriving, and they can disappear the next day anywhere.
All kinds of places, yeah, they do, yeah. Well, you know, there are reasons for this. For example, in the complaint against Washington, Minnesota against the president, his original travel ban, they complain they're losing money. They say we're losing students that are paying our universities money. They say these tech workers, we're losing money from them. They're making it quite clear that they're concerned about a loss of income. And that's why they oppose the travel ban.
Wow.
So, I mean, if that's their reality of their thinking, I don't agree with it.
Yeah, that's pretty shallow.
They're not responding to the reality of the pragmatic situation of where there have been numerous incidents of violence committed for some reason, within this culture.
Well, I'll give you a scenario, just as a possible scenario, not an idea on what somebody might do. But let's say you go through... a major airport in America, like Hartsfield Airport in Atlanta, or you go through Chicago, O'Hare, and someone decides to, say, blow up a radiological bomb. So maybe that radiological bomb is shielded in a way that you can't detect because it's packaged in plastic, so you wouldn't see it. But it's got isotopes in it, and it's got some kind of plastic explosives. And it's designed to lay down a backpack just in the middle of the area, even before it gets the baggage claim, and just blow it up. And people don't even know they've been radiated with plutonium, and God knows what else. And radiologically damages 250,000, 100,000 die within the next few weeks of sepsis and radiation poisoning. What I'm very concerned about, and the Muslims should be concerned about this too, if it's tracked back that it's together another jihad and they take credit for it, it's very likely that almost all Muslims in America will end up in civil detention camps, like the Japanese in the Second World War. Now, Islam should start to be worried about that, because these little pinpoint terror attacks, 10, 20 people killed, whatever, is bad enough. But if you do something like an explosion at the Mall of the Americas with a nail bomb and killed, you know, 1,000 people, these Muslims are going to go to civil detention. They're going to be unarmed and forced, whether they're good or bad Muslims or non-political, whatever, they're going to be pushed into civil detention camps. That's just going to be reality because we'll be moved to literally a war footing with Islam.
Well, that's the issue. You're right. I mean, I'm not recommending that. I don't know whether it's necessary, but clearly...
It isn't necessary. We can set up the environment where we can actually make these people more likely willing to cooperate. I saw a report last year where they agreed with candidate Trump, the imams in Houston, that they should be vetting these more extreme Muslims. And 160 imams just in Houston alone got fired from their mosque because they supported Trump's idea of a better vetting system to get rid of extreme Muslims and not let them in the country. They were fired as Muslim imams, and they believed in the Quran and everything.
Really?
Because they didn't want to have extreme Muslims come in, because they put the future of regular Muslims that want to own a home, a car, have their kids go to university, get an engineering degree or teaching degree, have nice vacations, have their friends that are over that are Christians or Jews or secular. Mm-hmm. And you know what? All that would be blown out the window. And these Muslim imams actually knew that the culture of Islam in America, this new American culture, which is not Sharia-centered but Constitution-centered, not willing to say we agree with Muhammad and the Hadith, that when you read Salman Rushdie's The Satanic Letters, which he wrote this academic document, saying, mm-hmm. you know, Muhammad had this discussion with his wife that maybe in one of his visions that he was actually wasn't sure if he was talking to Allah or God, but or he was talking to the opposer or Satan. And Salman Rushdie had a fatwa and had to hide for years because he wrote this academic document, literally just going through the Quran and the Hadith and these other writings that were done 100-some years after, that documented his Muhammad's actual quandary whether or not, hey, I'm not sure whether I was listening to God or Satan. And to me, this is craziness. This is like, you guys need to get your act together, and if you're going to fire Muslims because they don't want to have terrorists here, you've got to think twice there, Islam, because you're asking, at some future date, if something really bad happens, Americans, Democrat and Republican, will clamor to have everybody that says they're a Muslim to be put in civil detention. That'll happen.
Right.
I don't want to see it happen.
Well, the issue is, will the Muslim community sufficiently critique, engage in a specific critique to establish some sort of... control mechanisms, or be able to critique these events and, you know, and prevent them internally.
Well, I'll tell you how I would do it, and then this would be something that in your bailiwick with is legal. The first thing is the Muslims would come out and say, we agree publicly to accept the idea of using metadata for our travel plans and our credit cards and our conversations in Facebook and Twitter. For example, Facebook and Twitter have been used as platforms for even telling people, hey, we give credit to Islam, or they're even telling their confreres that they're ready to do some terrorist activity. And Facebook and Twitter have, in a sense, been collaborators on it. We need to also have them say, hey, if you find metadata indicates somebody in our mosque or our imams are doing something bad, notify us, and we'll take care of it internally as well as help you guys.
That would be the best solution. Yeah, it would be internal control and critique. It's possible that, the difficulty is we do not know the extent to which this culture is going to continue to survive within the modern world. At this point, they're having difficulty.
I'll give you the timeline. if you look at the average modern, let's say, white European family in 20 mm-hmm. years, we will be a significant minority. We won't be a majority anymore. So it wouldn't matter if the struggle goes on 20 years. 40 years from now, this country will be, at the rate of reproduction and the rate of migration even after Trump, it will be Muslim. Okay, it'll be a Muslim nation. So will Europe. Europe will be a Muslim nation. If they just make a deal to make Turkey full citizenship, and they have Turkic Empire people from Turkmenistan, Tajikistan, etc., going through there, in 5 to 10 years, Europe will be a large minority European Muslim country.
Yeah, I think it's true.
Here it'll take maybe 30 years, 40 years. In Europe, it'll be 5 to 10. And the fact is, the really big issue, and this is one of the books that God gave me years ago when I traveled around to the Prophecy Club, Clay and Iron and Abortion to Armageddon. The real big issue that's killing us is the degradation of women through the sacrament of abortion. Because if you don't want to have a pregnancy, you have the perfect right to be sterile. But you don't have a right to abort from the moment of conception. And if you think it isn't, then I can take that fetus or embryo and I can genetically engineer it. Do you know they're now talking about a human on a stick? Embryos used for animal for experimentation instead of animals because PETA and the lawsuits. And so they want to grow human embryos on a stick or transgenetic, they're part animal, even to become super soldiers that are basically interfaced with technology, you know, like this mind link stuff that people from Silicon Valley talk about, to create cyborg super soldiers. Now, when I got the opportunity to go to UCLA in 1977 to work with Dr. Tortolot, I was going to work on the World MS Tissue Repository, Brain Bank, and Immunology Lab, but the other four projects were all DARPA projects to create transgenic super soldiers. And I turned it down. I'm not interested. So you need to understand, this technology is no longer hidden. It's open. It's available.
Well, of course, as a Christian, I am going to, and I will never alter this position of my opposition to any...
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today, it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Do you know what's in your body soap? Well, I didn't know the answer until about 5 years ago when I looked at the label of my soap and was shocked to see all the chemicals. For my entire life, I had been assaulting the largest organ of my body, my skin, and to think my children were using it too. Well, a lot has changed since then. Today, my family and I operate Stone City Farms, where we make and sell all natural goat milk soap using fresh goat milk from goats we raise on our farm. Our mission at Stone City Farm is to produce high quality, all natural goat milk soap for people who want a fresh, unrefined natural product. At Stone City Farms, we offer scented and unscented soaps and a signature line of gift sets customizable to your needs. To see what our customers are saying, go to StoneCityFarm.com. Use the code NATURAL for a 20% discount. That's StoneCityFarm.com, code NATURAL for 20% off your order. You never know what could be hiding in your soap.
Gotta let me. is the end.
And welcome back. So, Andrew,
yeah, can I comment about abortion and why I oppose it as a Christian? Tell you, I oppose abortion because I know the value that attached to any being. We cannot know the significance of that child. And I do know this much, that I speak to supposedly mentally challenged kids, special kids. They're very smart.
Right.
If aborted, they're gone. So they're making, the system makes a judgment that somebody, some person who has Down syndrome or is theoretically mentally challenged, that they're worthless. I don't agree.
Right. Well, give an example. My daughter has been on a supplement since before birth. She had two heart surgeries, one in 6 months, and she was dying. She had it 2.5 years. And since then, she's had literally the surgeon came out and I did 6 sutures. Her heart miraculously is healed. And she's never been on a heart drug her entire life. She hasn't been in hospital except for a couple of days with RSV about 15, 16 years ago. And other than that, she's perfectly healthy. She can outwalk me. She runs her computer, her iPads. She travels with us internationally all over the world. She speaks well. She's probably got more social graces than I'll ever have in my in her pinky. And, you know, so I get a kick out of people. And she's able, I call her the Where's Waldo game.
Right.
They think differently than us. They actually, in some ways, their brain, because they've had to adapt to their neurological and genetic issues.
Many of them are very bright.
No, they're even brighter than us. I'll use it in this way. If you ask her to find Where's Waldo or some little item in a vast screen of issues, she'll find it faster than someone who thinks they're a genius. It's the weirdest thing. And she can identify people. She can tell who is a good and bad person faster than you can imagine. I don't know if it's voice print analysis or something, but she's like, if she can do that, I call the Where's Waldo and the in what's appropriate behavior and speech. And she's always correcting me, you know, if I do something. Now, be polite, Daddy.
They'll say that people who oppose abortion, and the most prominent opposition of abortion is the Catholic Church, but also conservative Protestants and Lutheran churches. I belong to the opposition.
Exactly.
They said they're backward. Actually, they're ahead. They're not backward.
We're ahead, yeah.
Significant value on all people.
Well,
they
know they're one of the...
They're frontward.
The big battle is not going to be just health care in the Trump first term. It's going to be the abortion issue. And you're going to see the heads pop off of these maniacs, satanic, pseudo-patriotic, pseudo-Christians... when we wipe out their abortion, even if it's just beyond 20 weeks or beyond 12 weeks or 16, because even Senator Graham's comments, what about in 2022? Will it be 20 weeks of gestation or 12 weeks or 10 weeks when viability is at an earlier time? Yeah.
Also, how many abortions are female babies? The women...
Exactly.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.